For me to be sitting here with a pen and paper to jot down, honestly, was my incentive. I'll be honest. The reason why I wanted to do this is to make sure to hear Rav Moshe Tzvi's ideas on the Haggadah. So this is a way I could slip in, bring my share into it also. And I think everyone's excited to hear that. And Bechlal, I think it's an important limud. It's not, sometimes people approach the Haggadah is like, oh, this is, we have to remember that it's not, it's really the Gemaras that we're learning. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal, Anshei Knesset Gadol, when they made the Haggadah, when they quoted the Tanoim wrote this, the text for the Haggadah. This is all from Gemaras that we have in Maseches Pesachim, in the 10th Perek. This is really, we're darshaning what we're doing every morning, Torah Shebaal Peh, and it's important stuff, and it's deep stuff, and there was a lot of tremendous kavanos that were implemented in deciding what to put in and what not to put in. But the reason why I think it's appropriate, we were debating when to do this shir on the Haggadah that a lot of you requested, and that's exciting. When's the appropriate time? So we thought that Shabbos Haggadah, there's a minig to look over the Haggadah already, the Shabbos before Pesach, so you're familiar with the Haggadah. Someone came up to me in the shul and they asked, Chazal always have a gzeira de rabba. They always have a concern. You know, you're going to carry the lulav on Shabbos when Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You're going to carry the shofar. So why don't you have the gzeira? Someone asked me in the shul, why don't you have the gzeira when it comes to the Haggadah? So he wanted to suggest, the reason is because we go through the Haggadah, the Shabbos before, we already are familiar with the Haggadah, we're not concerned that you're going to be stuck with that Haggadah, you already did your preparation for Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're familiar with that mitzvah already, we're not jumping in it as new, that we're going to have to go to the Bucky to teach us, because we're already familiar, we're already learning. So I think it's appropriate to already have a shir prior to Shabbos Haggadah, which is just fascinating. Even the idea of why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, the great Shabbos, out of all the Shabbosim, and the nace that happened on this Shabbos with the Korban Pesach and tying it to the beds, it's a tremendous Shabbos, and we demonstrate that by taking out our Haggadahs and already starting the Torah Shabbat, studying the Torah Shabbat Peh of the Haggadahs when it comes to this Shabbos. I heard a few years ago from the Mashpia a beautiful idea that I think pertains specifically to this to this Shabbos, to Shabbos Haggadah, to the Shabbos before we embark upon the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz, when we check our houses for all of the Chametz, which is Amir Tzoshem this Thursday night. But there's something specific when it comes to the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz that we find in, it's in some of the Haggadahs. It's not in each and every one of your Haggadahs. In this Haggadah, which in my opinion, I love this Haggadah. I also saw Rabbi Weinberg holding this Haggadah as well. This is the Maisa Nisim's Haggadah. This is a favorite of our Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Schechter's Haggadah. He often quotes this Haggadah as well. It's the same Nesivis that we quote, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, that we quote in Nesivis HaMishpat. He wrote a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. And in his Haggadah, it's not an old Haggadah, just try to find this Haggadah, there's a Hiratzen that you say before the Bedikas Chametz. And it says as follows, I'm going to read to you the beginning of the Hiratzen. Yiratzalmo fanecha Hashem Elokeinu velokei avoseinu shetizakeinu, that you should be mezakas, we should be merited lasur ulechapes, that we should find and look and be able to find and be successful binige bote hanefesh, with the negoyim of our souls. We are not only looking in the cracks and crevices of our houses physically, but we are looking in the cracks and crevices of our physical bodies that are carrying many negoyim. On a year like this that we read Parshas Mitzora, which deals with nige habatim, which deals with the tzaras of the house, and that we are now not only looking for the physical chametz, the physical lesions on our houses, but we understand that represents a chisaron in our avodas Hashem, a chisaron in our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And before we approach Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which in Mirtz Hashem is going to be the theme of the entire Agada, is just to find a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to restart, to refresh, to build that connection. So we approach that with a Bedikas Chametz the night before that's focusing on Parshas Mitzorah, that we recognize that even though it's not physically there, even though we don't see there in the cracks and crevices and throughout our lives, we've slipped up and we have Nigoyim, we have lesions, and now when we're preparing to get to that night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we want to go through an absolute cleansing process to totally clear out all these Nigoyim, all these Averis and Chatoim that have distanced us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amir Tz Hashem, we should be Metayer ourselves, just like the Kohen in this week's Parsha is Metayer, the Negoyim of the Batim, the Mitzorah, the Tzaras on the houses, in order to come back into the Machna and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We decided that we're going to focus, unless there are other additions, things that pop into Rabbi Weinberg's head, about things that he wants to add in, but we thought that the ideal would be just to skip over some of the mitzvahs at the beginning of the Seder and try to focus on the major mitzvahs halayla and just some of the drushas, some of the ideas that we've come up with to share when it comes to the actual Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Magid. And now I hand over the mic to the man of the hour. I'm not joking, this is my pen.
Okay, Shkoichai Belzan. I want to start with an Imre Noam. The Imre Noam from Jikov in his writings on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, in his writings on Magid Os Yud Gimel. Now, Rabbi Belzan and I were talking about the Maisa, from Belazar ben Azaria, and how they stayed up the whole night and they were learning. Maybe we'll get to that a little more later. But he says an amazing thing. The Jikov brings an amazing thing. He quotes from the Rebbe of Rimanov, and he says, "You have to understand; these were the greatest of the generation. Maisa, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Tarfon. These were all great people. There's a lot to discuss, even in halacha, how it happened, how it could be that these individuals all ended up in Bnei Brak. There's a halacha that a person has to be with his family on the Antiv." Not only were these people bound, these great Tanaim, bound to their families, they're bound to their communities. So can you imagine the Mor Da'asra, you know, of a big kehila saying, you know, I'm going away for Pesach, I want to spend Pesach with my friends. Who's going to be our Rav? And everyone packed up, and they all went to Bnei Brak, which was Rabbi Akiva's hometown. And they spent the Seder together. But the amazing thing that the Jikover points out, and I want to just use this to give a shkoyach to Rabbi Belzan and to the guys in both of the shiurim, the Jikover points out from the Rimanover that at the end of that epic night, they lost themselves in the learning, they went all the way till the morning. So he says a beautiful thing. He says, who came to tell all these great Rashi Yeshiva? Who came to tell Rabbi Eliezer, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon? Who came to tell them that it was time for Shachris? At Shabbat Talmideim, their Talmidim came. And each one had their Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva had his Talmidim, Rabbi Tarfon had his Talmidim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had his Talmidim. But you know what's so beautiful about this Seder? It wasn't just that the Rebbeim were getting together. The Rebbeim showed kavod to one another, which is a chashuv thing. But Amru Lahem, what did the Talmidim say? Rabboseinu, our rabbis. Our rabbis, our Rebbeim. And the Jikover writes over there, in the Imre Noam, he says, what a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes a person thinks, I have my Rebbe, and I have my Chevra, and I'm very comfortable in that environment. I don't necessarily need to interact with any other environment. And it's a real credit to our Balazan that he's pushed to try to bring our Shirim together more regularly, which is a beautiful thing. That we should be able to say to one another, Rabboseinu, we should be able to say that we have many Rebbeim, and we want to learn from all of our Rebbeim and from all of our Talmidim, and to really pull together in that way. The Jikover says was an amazing thing and a unique aspect of this special Seder that took place in Bnei Brak. So really, shkoyach to everyone for coming together and for allowing us to do this. And in Amir Tzashem, we should continue to learn a lot from one another. The Vizhnitz Rebbe, Rav Chaim Meyer of Vizhnitz, when he made Aliyah, he settled in Eretz Yisrael. So he said to his chassidim one time, he says, you know, I really love the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. I love the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Even the Jews who aren't so religious. The Vizhnitz Rebbe said, the Rebbe Chaim Meir said, I love the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Because you stop a Jew on the street in Eretz Yisrael, and you say, nu, you say, Rebbeid, what's doing? Yeah? Whatever language you say it in. Right? But there's only one way to respond. Everyone knows the way to respond. If you ask someone how they're doing in Eretz Yisrael, whether you say, v'smach seyid, or whether you say, you know, makore, achi, yeah? Whatever you say, this response is always, hakol b'seder. So the Vizhnitz Rebbe said, I love the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, because they really know that hakol b'seder, everything depends on the Seder. Everything depends on the Seder. What happens at the Seder, what happens at the Leil, and the Leil is Kadesh Chag, what happens on the night of Pesach, on the illuminated night of Pesach, hakol b'seder, everything depends on the Seder. And of course, like Rabbi Elzan said, the highlight of the Seder is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The centerpiece of the Seder is the Makir. So we divide it up, and again, we'll share whatever it is. We'll take turns sharing different insights. But we'll begin with the beginning of the Seder, the beginning of the Magid. Hakol B'Seder, to try to understand a little bit what went into this unbelievable work that was written in a remarkable way. It's, like Rabbi Elzan said, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. Who exactly authored the Haggadah is a big discussion, a very interesting discussion. Very, very interesting discussion. I'll just point out the following. I have a little sefer at home. It was written by a Jew probably about 100 years ago, maybe even a little less. I can't remember his full name. His last name's Horowitz. He wrote this little kuntras called Avas HaTorah. And in this kuntras, Avas HaTorah, there's a section called the Migdal Oz. And he describes at the beginning, he says, I was curious one day. I was very curious, you know. We know, the Ramban writes in his Akdamah to Chumash, that the Chumash from beginning to end is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the Beis of Bereshis to the Lamed of Yisrael, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Is it one long name? One massive name of over 300,000 letters? Right? Or it's broken up. You could break it up as opposed to breaking up the words to spell out the Pesukim as we know it. Bereshis Bar Elokim. You could rearrange it to create Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Torah from beginning to end is the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the name of Hashem that appears most often in Chumash is Yudkei Vavkei. So he says, this Mechaber says, I was just curious, how many times does Yudkei Vavkei appear in the Chumash? Yeah? There are 5,845 Pesukim in the Torah. He was curious, of those nearly 6,000 Pesukim, how many times does it say Hashem's name? Hashem's most basic name, Yudkei Vavkei. How many times does it appear? So he made a cheshbon, he counted it up. Monsieur Snefesh sat there counting it up. And he came to the conclusion that there's 1,820 times that Hashem's name appears in the Torah. Now already, the Rishonim were osek in these types of things. The Rokeach, Kiyadu was very big with letters and numbers. The Rokeach had a different cheshbon, he had 1818. The Pasha says that this Mechaber, if the answer up the Rokeach, the Mechaber has the correct number, it's 1820. Which means about every third pasuk in Chumash, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then he gets very busy with this number 1820, and he puts together all sorts of ramazim about 1820. Now, I haven't done the work, so I'll give you an assignment. If you want to cheshbon it out yourself. But he writes there, he talks about this Indian of 1820 being very makusher to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shem's name, his basic name, Yudkei Vavkei, appears 1,820 times in the Torah. So he says the following. He says, if you add up all of the words, if you count up all the words of the Haggadah, from beginning to end, you know how many words you're going to find? Exactly 1,820. Now, I can't vouch for it. I know there's different noschos in the Haggadah. I'm not sure which cheshbon he used exactly, but that's an amazing thing. When you sit down, you open up the Haggadah, and you're mekayim the unique mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which the Rishonim certainly count as a mitzvah d'oraisa, even if Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim has a funny place in the cheshbon, in the Moneha mitzvahs. But certainly, this very special, unique mitzvah of telling over the Pesach story of Magid, it's an unbelievable time to attach ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So how does Magid begin? Holach ma'anya di'achalu avasana ba'ar de Mitzrayim. We invite people to our homes. Kol dich v'n yesev yechol, kol dich v'n yesev yivsach. Hashra ocha l'shon haba ba'ar di Yisrael. Hashra avi l'shon haba b'nei chor. Before I tell you an unbelievable pshat that's found in the Hakdama to the Shailos and Chuvos Chesed Yehoshua, And I'll tell you about who that is in a second. I want to just say one thing by way of Hakdama, and why I think it's so, another reason why it's so important that we have this year. You know, every year there are new Haggadahs being printed. They say there's no area of Torah literature that has as much written on it as the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Literally thousands and thousands of volumes written, new Haggadahs every single year. And it's very important to understand that if we want to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, part of the Inyan of Magid, part of what the word Haggadah itself actually means, is to tell the story in a way that we're sharing new information. You have to share, you can't just, yes, there's the classic Varlach that come up every year, you know, the classic questions that come up every year, right, the classic stories that you love to tell every year, but it's so important to come to the Seder, whether you're going to share them or whether you're just going to share them with yourself, it's so important to come to the Seder with new ideas, to tell over the story in a new way. The Leil Seder somehow is this world between the world of old, of remembering what was, and Chayiv Adam Lios Satsu Kilu Hu Yatsim Mitzrayim. But let me just show you how the word Magid actually means that. The Malbim in Vayikra Parakei. Vayikra Parakei, of course, is the parak that describes the karban Ola V'yorid. There are certain averos that a person will bring a karban based on his ability to pay. If he's more wealthy, he'll bring an animal karban. If he's not as wealthy, he'll bring a bird. If he's really not wealthy, he'll bring a mincha. One of the crimes, one of the averos which a person brings a karban Ola V'yorid, very first pasuk in Parakei, Vayikra, V'nefesh ki sechta v'shama kol ala v'hu aid, brings us into the Arma Sechta, Sanhedrin a little bit, o ra o yada im lo yagid v'nasa avono. This is what we call shvua sa'edus, that if a person knows something and he swears falsely or he denies having that knowledge, he was an aid, v'hu aid, the pasuk says. O ra o yada, he knows something. Im lo yagid v'nasa avono. If he's not yagid, if he doesn't share that information, then what? Then nasa avono, then he bears the iniquity. So what does yagid mean over here? So if you look at the Malbim over here, the Malbim says yagid has two connotations. Number one, this person has information that he's considering concealing. Yagid means to what? To uncover and to reveal information which could be concealed. But then the Malbim says the second part. And that is, it's dafka to reveal that information to the relevant party, in this case, to come to Beis Din. Sechah Sanhedrin. Come to Beis Din. And let the Beis Din know what you know. You don't have to tell everyone, but you have to tell it to the one who it's relevant to. So the Sfarim say the whole Indian of Haggadah is to tell over the story in a way that's relevant. Part of the mechus of the word Haggadah is to share it in a relevant way. I saw there was a Jew who died on Kiddush Hashem, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldshein. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldshein was the assistant Mashkiach Ruchani in Baranovich. The Baranovich Yeshiva under Rav Elchanan Wasserman had a Mashkiach whose name was Rav Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky, and he brought on a Talmud of the Altar of Navardik, this Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldshein, to be the assistant Mashkiach Ruchani. And we have some of his Torahs. He died al Kiddush Hashem. He died at the hands of the Nazis. He was the one, the Altar of Navardik's famous Sefer, the Madregas HaAdam. He was the one who brought that to print. He was a very close Talmud of the Altar of Navardik. And he asked the following question. B'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam liros es atzmo, ki'iluhu yatsim Mitzrayim. Yeah? So he says, why do you need to say b'chol dor v'dor? What if it just said, chayev adam liros es atzmo, ki'iluhu yatsim Mitzrayim? Why do I have to introduce it, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation? Obviously not, if I just read the line, chayev adam liros es atzmo, ki'iluhu yatsim Mitzrayim, I would understand that it's talking to me. It's not talking to Jews left Mitzrayim 3,500 years ago. So why do I have to, b'chol dor v'dor? What's the hakdama, b'chol dor v'dor? So he says, it's exactly what we're saying. B'chol dor v'dor. If you want to give over the Haggadah, yes, there's two aspects on the night. There's l'man tesaper, ba'oznei bincha. L'man tesaper means to just tell what you told last year. That's true. But then there's also an inyan of v'higada t'levincha. And Haggadah Yagid, as we see from Vayikra Parakei, means what? It means to relay it in a way that's relevant. So says this Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldshein, he says, when we give over the Haggadah, b'chol dor v'dor, in each generation, you have to give it over in a way that's relevant to that particular generation. And he brings a proof, he says, I'll show you an interesting proof of this, just to show you how radical the generations are changing, how often the generations are changing. Literally, from 1 year to the next, the generations are changing. What's the halacha? Person comes to take Meiser Behema. Person wants to take Meiser Behema. Yeah? So he has to tithe his animals. The halacha is, you're not allowed to take Meiser Behema from an animal that was born 1 year from an animal born a different year. So if an animal was born last year, you can't mingle it with an animal born this year. Why? I understand I can't mingle maybe one type of animal with another type of animal. But an animal born this year, an animal born... It's the same animal. And he says, but it's a world apart. From 1 year to the next, it's a different door, it's a different generation. And therefore, b'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzo. A person has to do the Haggadah, relay the Haggadah in a way that's new for that generation. There's a sefer called Chassidim Misaprim. In the second volume, in Os Kuf Lamed, it brings from the Rav Shitzer. The Rav Shitzer was known, Kiyadua was very funny. Rav Shitzer had a very good sense of humor. And he said something, obviously he said it, I imagine, b'derech scho, somewhat jokingly, but it's a very true vart, it's a very deep vart. He said, why is it that there's so many new Haggadahs every year? Right? Why are there so many new Haggadahs every year? So he said, because the Rasha from last year's Haggadah and the Rasha in this year's Haggadah is a different Rasha. You talk about the Dalit Banim, right? So he said, oh yeah, I know this. I met this Chacham, I met this Rasha last year. It's Bechlal, it's a different Rasha. You have to print a new Haggadah, it's such a different Rasha. The Yitzharas of the generation are so new from 1 year to the next, you mamash need a different, it's a different Dalit Banim. What we called the Chacham last year, it's a whole different Indian this year. And what we called the Rasha last year, for sure, it's a whole different Indian this year. The Yitzharas is always changing. The Doros are always changing. You look in Tosfos, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin, we know that we try to outsmart the Yitzhara every year, Rosh Hashanah time, right? We blow the shofar, tchios to Me'uma, tchios to Me'usha, we're trying to fake him out, we stop blowing on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to fake out the Yitzhara. And that way when he hears the first blast, then he hears the second shofar blast, oh my gosh, this is for sure, Tekab shofar Gadol, it's Mashiach, right? And he gets all nervous, and then he can't be Mekatrig on Klai Yisrael. Tosfos Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin talks about it. So I saw Pinchas Karitzer asked in the Imre Pinchas, in his writings on Tekiah Shofar, in the Imre Pinchas, for Pinchas Karitzer, Tekiah Shofar, Ostaf Tzadi Zayin, 497, he said, no, so if the Satan fell for it last year, so how does he fall for it again next year? How does the Satan fall for it again next year? So last year we faked him out with the Shofar, right? But he saw the second Shofar blast wasn't Mashiach last year. So why does he think it's Mashiach this year? He knows we're playing games with him. The answer is, says Rav Pinchas Karitzer, because the Satan from last year is not the same Satan from this year. The same way the Rasha in your Agada that you used last year is not the same Rasha in your Agada from this year. And therefore a person has to say to himself, yes, there's Laman Tisaper, there's telling the story like it was from old, the classic questions, but then there also has to be Vigata to Labincha, to tell it to your child, and to tell it to yourself, in accordance with whatever it is, whatever the challenges of your particular door are, whatever your nesionas are. The present Scully Rebbe put out a sefer about a year and a half ago, called the Bacharta V'Chayim. It tells a ma'isa, he says, a bacher, an honest bacher once came to the Shpola Zeta. Sefer Tzadim called the Shlevracha. Came to the Shpola Zeta, and he said, Rebbe, you know, I'm struggling with a particular Yitzhara. Can you give me some good old advice? You know, what's worked through the generations to defeat this particular Yitzhara? So Shpola Zeta said, let me tell you a ma'isa about the Yitzhara. So the Yitzhara came to a Kodesh Baruch at one point and said, I'm bored. There's no one interesting to go up against. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yetzer, just wait, Avram Avinu is going to be born soon, and he'll be interesting. You'll have a good time with him. Right? He'll be someone who's, you know, to work with. So Avram Avinu is born, and the Yetzer shows up. He says, oh, good. Now this is a person who wants to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Avram was the first one who started to believe. So now the Yetzer has someone to play with. So he comes to Avram's tent, and Avram starts feeding the Yitzhara, Achila Shtia, you know, Avram the Ish Chesed. Right? And the Yitzhara gets so distracted that he forgets to trip up Avram Avinu. So he comes back to Kodesh Baruch and says, I couldn't get Avram. So the Yitzhara says, oh, there'll be a Yitzchak, don't worry, there'll be a Yitzchak. Yeah, so Yitzhara comes to Yitzchak's house after Yitzchak's born, knocks on Yitzchak's door. Yitzchak was the meat of Gvura. Yitzchak takes one look at the Yitzhara. He sees that he's up to no good, takes his baseball bat, Gvura, he beats up the Yitzhara, chases him away. Yitzhara comes back to Kodesh Baruch and says, Rabbona Shola, I couldn't work with Yitzchak. Give me someone else. Like, there'll be a Yaakov. You work with Yaakov. Come see Yaakov Avinu. It says, Yaakov, come, let's do these Geshmak Averas. So Yaakov Avinu says, I don't even know what you're talking about. I still don't learn in Beis Medrash all day. I'm not familiar with these things. Right? This just doesn't interest me. And the Yitzchak comes back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shpola Zeta says, but look how each of the Avos defeated the Yitzhara using his Kochos. You come to me and you say, give me an Eitzah. How do I, what did the tzaddikim in the olden days do to defeat this Yetzirah? The answer is, it's irrelevant to you. It's not shaykh for you. You have to confront the Yetzirah, you have to confront your Mitzrayim in your own way. And therefore, b'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros es atzmo. In every generation, a person has to free himself from his personal Mitzrayim. In Parshas Baaloscha, it says, if you're going to gather together people, asei lecha shtei chatzosros. You have to make two trumpets for yourself. Asei lecha. Make for yourself two trumpets. Rashi says, ata osa umishtamesh bahem v'lo achem. Moshe Rabbeinu, when you get together, Klal Yisrael, you need to have a trumpet to get people together, but your trumpets are only for you. The next generation needs its own trumpets. So says the author of the Shalos and Tshuvos, Lev Avram, Rav Avram Weinfeld, he says, you can learn three things from this Indian of Asei Lecha Shtei Chasosros. I'm just going to tell you the first one. The first one he says is that every generation needs a different way of conveying a message. The trumpet that signals to people to get rid of their chametz or to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they can get out of their Mitzrayim, the trumpet from Moshe's generation is not shaykh to Yeshua. Why? Yeshua is basically, Moshe is the sun, Yeshua is the moon, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Meiser Behema, from one year to the next, it's a whole different world. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky used to also say over this var, about the two trumpets. I saw Rabbi Shlomo Lawrence in the B'mechitzasam, his volume of biographies on different gedolim. He says, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky used to always say, a mashpia, a rebbe, a parent, and a ben adam la'atzmo, giving over the Haggadah to ourselves, you have to know the language of your door. Behold, door of a door, chayav adam liras es atzmo. You have to know what it is I'm trying to convey. What story am I trying to tell? Fine. So this is the Indian of Haggadah. Okay, I'm taking up too much time, so very quickly. Halach ma'ani, I have to tell you this part from the Hakdama to the Shalos and Tshuvos, Chesed Lavram. Chesed Yoshua. Rav Yoshua Grunwald, Grunwald was a grandson of the Arugas of Bosem. Rav Moshe Grunwald, Shalos and Tshuvos Arugas of Bosem, wrote a sefer on Chumash as well. Very unbelievable sefer. This Rav Yoshua Grunwald went to Auschwitz in 1944. He survived the war, settled in Williamsburg, built a kehila there, passed away in 1969. In Borough Park. He lost his wife, he lost a daughter during the war. In the Hakdama to the Chesed Yoshua, as you can see, I brought it along. It's kedai, you know, just to hold it in your hands, to hold the writings of a Yid. You can see how yellowed the pages are. So in the Hakdama to the Shalos and Tshuvos Chesed Yoshua, he writes his zichronos from the war called Ein Dima. And he just says the following, and I'll just to show you this one insight on Halach Ma'anya. It's an unbelievable vart. The Sa'am Rebbe also asked the same question in his Haggadah Shal Pesach. The question is the following. Now I'm here, next year in Yerushalayim. Now I'm here? Why do I have to announce now I'm here? Of course I'm here. What am I saying? Now I'm here. Just say, Lashon Abba Ba'arad Yisrael, Lashon Abba Yerushalayim. What's the introduction? What's the declaration? Hashatahacha, now I'm here, next year in Jerusalem. So he tells his own personal experience. He says it was the first day of Pesach one year, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wanted to have a little bit of fun with him. This was before he was in Auschwitz. They were still trying. The Nazis were pretending to give a certain degree of control to the Jews, even though they were just trying to keep people calm and there was nothing to be calm about. And he says the Nazis made him go to shul and to give a drasha to the tzibur, just to give over, on the first day of Pesach, to give over a false sense of calm to the people. Now he knew Lamaisa where they were holding. The neighboring communities had already been shipped out to concentration camps and had been completely obliterated. So what kind of drasha are you going to give? You know, it's Manchei Rasenu, yeah? You're going to get up and give a drasha, talk about the freedom, talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says, Kasher rak alisi ala bima besa knesses. He says, I got up on the bima, my kehila took one look at me, and everyone burst out into tears, mirov tsar. The whole base medrash was crying. If you shtakel me lule, I didn't have the words to speak. Ma omer ma daber. V'achayim v'amavis biyad alashon. I had to say the right thing. Both in terms of the Nazis who were in the room listening, and in terms of being mechazik to kehila. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the following idea in my head. I asked the question that begins Magid. Hashat ha'ocha l'shon ha'ba ba'arad Yisrael. So he said, so I asked the Kehila, why do I have to say Hashatach, now I'm here? Just say Lashon HaBa Be'eretz Yisrael. That's what we want to be. Why do I have to declare, now I'm here? What am I saying? We don't waste words. Certainly not in the precise cheshbon of the 1820, 1,820 words of the Haggadah Shal Pesach. What am I saying? Hashatach Lashon HaBa Be'eretz Yisrael. So he said, Chazal, tell us the following. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do a miracle for nothing. Chazal say, Lo Ovid Kutchabrichu Nisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do a miracle if it's going to be in vain. Hashem doesn't like doing miracles. Hashem, Rav Shechter always says from the Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mestat there. Hashem likes to operate within nature. He likes to lay low. Yeah? Hashem doesn't do miracles unless there's something really beneficial that's going to come from it. That it's a stepping stone to something greater. So listen to what he said. It's very tragic and it's very powerful. He says, let's look around. Let's look at all the communities around our community. Right? As the Nazis have been closing in around us. There's no one left. Everyone else has been destroyed. The fact that we've made it to this point in the war is an unbelievable miracle. Hashata hacha. The fact that we're still here now is an unbelievable miracle. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle to bring us to this point, then we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't make miracles for nothing. L'shona haba ba'arad Yisrael. If you've kept us alive until now, L'shona haba ba'arad Yisrael. And I love thinking about this Vard every year as you begin the Seder, because it's mamish the story of Klal Yisrael. The fact that Klal Yisrael is still alive and kicking in the Galus, after 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years since Churban Bayis Sheni, that's a miracle. The fact that we're sitting in Washington Heights, New York right now, learning Torah, preparing for the Yom Tov of Pesach, is a miracle. And therefore, Hashat HaHacha, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we even care to be Jews in the world today, is an unbelievable miracle. So then I have the confidence and the audacity to say, L'shon HaBa Ba'arad Yisrael. Okay, Rav Elzan. B'chavod. Said enough. Wow.
Just coming off of Halach Ma'anya, the first paragraph afterwards, Manishtana Chazal placed in the Arei Pesachim, and we have in the Haggadah. So the first question that the child asks, Manishtana Alayla Hazeh Mikol Alaylos, why is this night different than every other night? So usually when you have children, usually when you have kids that are asking what's going on, how much time's left, are we almost there yet? They just ask the question straight up. They're not in this, advanced way of comparing and contrasting, and you know, but the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, sets up the questions of Manishtana as a juxtaposition, as a comparison, as we're contrasting. Manishtana Laila Zembikol Lelos. And what is the first question? What's the first thing that's bothering us that we're comparing to every other night? Shebechol Halelos Anu Ochlin Chomitzu Matzah Halaila Azeh Kulo Matzah. All other nights we have mommy sets the table and she serves us what? She serves us chametz u'matzah. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. So if a child is really asking the question and he was just bothered and he was just curious, so he would just ask, what's with all this matzah, Dad? What's going on over here? But there's obviously something deeper going on from the fact that he's setting up his question with a comparison and contrasting it to a classic night. And, I don't know, last night I had Fruity Pebbles. Last night, the night before, I had noodles. Since when do you have chametz u'matzah? That's like Tuesday night dinner, usually by me, it's fish. So where's the chametz u'matzah menu? Where did that come from? What is this child driving at that he's saying, halayla is a kula matzah, as opposed to every other night, chametz u'matzah? So there's an idea that I'd like to share with you. It's one of my favorite ideas on the Haggadah that two gedolim really develop. That is a tremendous yisod, I think, for the Haggadah, and I think really sheds light on what's going on in this question. You know, we usually often, as opposed to this year we have a different setup and a different glance at the Haggadah because we're coming from Parshas Metzora, but usually we come with Parshas Tzav. Usually we come off the Haggadah and we learn some of the Parshios of the Karbanos. One of the korbanos that we learn about before Haggadah is the Karban Todah. The Karban Todah is, as the Gemara in Brachas tells us on Daf Nun Daled, that Arba Chayav and Lahodos. People can go through episodes in their life that they have to, that they really should bring a carbon, whether it volunteer the carbon, it's a machlokas rishonim, but it's the right thing to do to bring a carbon, and a carbon that represents what? Hakara Satov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I went over a sea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took me out of prison. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you healed me from my predicament. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took me out of all these different situations. Arba Chayav and Lahodos, and that's what he does. He brings a carbon toda. But what's unique about the carbon toda, above and beyond every single carbon, is that you don't just bring the carbon toda. There is a requirement to bring the Lachme Toda. There's a requirement, the Psukim in Parshas Tzav, prior to the Agada that we usually learn, tell us that you have to bring bread. But not only bread. You have to bring a set of 40 types of bread, 40 loaves. Some of matzah, and some of bread that baked, that became chametz. So this child now is coming and approaching this idea, this Agada. And he's looking at the Leil HaSeder. And he says, Abba, Daddy, Tati, whatever he says, I understand that you're telling me, you're developing the idea that one of the Yesodos, what the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, is that the Tachlis and the goal at the end of all the Vorts that we're going to get to, and however we explain, like Rabbi Weinberg said beautifully, that's relevant to our day, and we're fulfill a Haggadah like the Malbim says, but Tachlis, the goal has to be that one of that we should now recognize and be Makir Tov and Akaras HaTov to the Rabbanu Shalom for what he did and what he continues to do, Hashat HaHacha. But ask the child, why? Why is this carbon toda different? Why is it that we don't have the mixture, the combo platter of the lechamim, of all the lechem, of all the matzah with the lechem? Why is it over here that we just have the kula matzah? And just to share an idea, what does that mean? Why is that so? That specifically when it comes to carbon toda, we have all these different breads. We have all these additional ancillary food that's now coming to assist and support the carbon. And it's not just bring the carbon and the dam onto the mizbeach. You actually have to have bread and have to have matzah. And why? Why in a classic carbon toda, in a classic situation when a person is saved, does he need that? So I'd like to share with you a beautiful idea from the Netziv in Parshas Tzav on the Pasuk in carbon toda, but is extremely relevant to the halal that we recite all the time, on Yontif and on every Rosh Chodesh, in the song, the famous song, Ma'ashiv. So he asks a beautiful question. If you look at the end of Ma'ashiv, the Netziv asks, we say at the end of Ma'ashiv what? L'cha ezbach zevach toda. To you, because I'm saying halal, shiris v'sishpachos, I'm praising you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you saved me. So now what? I'm going to makrif for you a carbon toda. Ubeshem Hashem ekra. But then I will recite your name. Nidarai la Hashem Hashalem. I should fulfill this promise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now listen to the psukim that we recite. Negdono lechol amo. In front of, parallel to, the entire nation. And then the Netziv says, look at the Pasuk. Bechatzros Beis Hashem, in the Chatzar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely the what? The Beis HaMikdash, that's where I'm going to be makar the carbon. Bisochech Yerushalayim Haluka. Bisoch, in the midst of Yerushalayim. Shkayach Halal. Shkayach for telling me that the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim. If you already told me that you're going to be makriv, not on a bummer, not on a personal, you know, mizbeach outside of my backyard, but I'm actually going to be makriv a real carbon toda, I'm talking about the real deal right now, and I'm going to go to the chatzar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be makriv this carbon, you have to tell me now what? That it's going to be in Yerushalayim? Why are you telling me, once you got to the tachlis, once you got to the Iker Kedusha, you don't have to tell me the external Kedusha of what the Beis HaMikdash is, happens to be in Yerushalayim. I'll figure out how to get there. I'll put it in the GPS. Relax, don't worry. I'll get it there. Says the Netziv, there's two things going on with every Karban Toda, which is the reason why the Karban Toda, it's insufficient just to have the Karban and to be Makriv et HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you also have to have the bread. Explains the Netziv, the carbon toda is the one unique carbon that what? Has a dual function. On the one hand, we're makriv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We thank and we have akara, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and therefore that moves us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not sufficient, says the Pasuk. It can only be a personal avoda inside the chatzar in the Beis HaMikdash. It also has to be a korban toda, a true hakaras hatov, a true recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you. Has to be where? B'soichei Yerushalayim. Also, not only when you're on that high in the Beis HaMikdash serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bein Adam L'Makom, you have to get the rest of the chevra. You have to get all the people around you, all of your shchuna, all of your shul, all of your Beis HaKnesses, that now has to feel the nace and the geula and all of the redemption that happened right now in the Arba Chayv and Lahodos, depending on what predicament you were in. They should feel the Shevach. And it should have an impression on them that they should give a hakara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't only be b'chotzer. It should also be where? B'soichei Yerushalayim. Inside Jerusalem. With all the people. No matter what hotel they're staying in. The Inn Baal, the Hilton, the Citadel. Everywhere. That's where it should be. It shouldn't be personalized in the chotzer. It should also be Yerushalayim. Memela says the Netziv. That's why it's only this karban that has all this bread. That has all this lechem. Because you shouldn't only serve the korban and make sure you eat the korban to accomplish a kapara like it comes to other korbanos. No, says the Netziv, we need a feast when it comes to this korban. We need all this bread. We need all this beautiful meal that everyone's going to participate in, everyone's going to involve themselves in. Therefore, explains the Netziv, that's why you need all these breads, and that's why the korban toda is the one korban shlamim that differs from every other korban shlamim. Every other korban shlamim, you're not so nervous. You could relax a little bit. You have 2 days and one night. You have all this time for you to finish to eat the korban, and it doesn't become nosar until the end. We got time. We could use. I could freeze this now and use it for a few more dinners and Baruch Hashem. And, you know, we're not going to have to go back to the barbecue. We're not going to have to make a grill. I got time. I could. This animal is really going to hold me for half the weeknights of supper of dinner. But the korban toda is what is not. You could eat it right when you're makriv and just one night. Why? Why does it lose out? Asked the Netziv. If it's a korban shlamim, it should play by the rules of shlamim. It should have the amount of time. Says the Netziv, you want to know why it loses out? Because this is the korban that we want to encourage what? You should invite everyone in your community to come over and eat this korban and be influenced by this korban and feel the reaction and the shevach ve'odah that you're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKaras HaTov for what you went through and demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. Hashkacha Pratis, He saved me from this situation. So therefore what? We're setting back the shot clock. We're setting back the buzzer. We're giving you a limited amount of time that this is going to be no sir. By next morning, it's going to expire. You better make sure that you have a lot of people over for dinner to now be involved in this achilas hakorban. And that's what the Netziv says by when it comes to when it comes to a classic korban toda. What the Vilna Gaon and the Chasam Sofer both, without quoting each other, were misnabit to the same idea, the same prophecy. They say that's exactly pshat in the first question of the Manishtana. First question of the Manishtana is, I understand that the tachlis of our feast tonight, of our get-together, of our gathering, is to what? Is, as the chinuch says, to be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said that's also why we're going to spend so much time on the psukim in Parshas Kisavo of Havas Bikurim. Bikurim is Akaras HaTov. It's the psukim that are associated with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the first fruits, for all the crops that you gave me. What's the best time to recite those psukim? A person could ask, what is Havas? Ma'inyan Havas Bikurim to Leil HaSeder? The answer is, Vanisa Va'amarta, Lechem Oni. You know what Lechem Oni means? Hakaras HaTov. Recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But explain the Chasam Sofer and the Gra, we were actually all of those four categories of Arba Chayav and Lahodos. We went through the Yam, we went through the Midbar, We were sick. The Midrashim tell us we were sick. We got diseases in Mitzrayim that we were healed from. And we were what? The most simple one. Yotze mibeis hasur. We were trapped. We were locked up. People couldn't get out of the fences. They had to. So now we makrev a korban toda, the ultimate korban toda. Korban Pesach is a type of korban toda. And therefore the child asks, but why? Why isn't it playing by the rules of korban toda? Why is it that by every other korban toda, we have an option of chametz u'matzah? We have all the different breads. Everyone can take a piece of whatever bread they like. Depends on if you're on a gluten-free diet, whatever. You want this type of bread or whole wheat, whatever. And tonight, it's just straight up matzah. I don't even like matzah. What's going on? So it's all because of this idea of Hakaras HaTov. So I always love this Chasam Sofer and the Gra. But yesterday, I was thinking about it. I happened to be looking at a Gemara in Pesachim. And I thought it's mamish poshup shan in the Gemara. Hear me out over here. The Gemara says on Daf Kuftes Zayin, I told you all the mamarim of Chazal in the Haggadah all come from the parak of Arbei Pesachim. So the Gemara says Rav Nachman said to an Eved, he says to him, if you get freed from slavery and you get out of this situation, and not only that, but the person who redeems you and gets you out and rescues you out of slavery gives you gold and silver in addition to that, so what would your response be? So the Eved answers Rav Nachman, I would be Meshabeach him, I would give him Hodah, I would thank him, I would be Makar Tov. And then Rav Nachman turns to the Eved, says the Gemara in Pesachim, Potarta lonu miloimar ma nishtan. Zok the Gemara in Pesachim, you now have exempted us from saying Manishtana. You know, and whenever I used to see that Gemara, I would say, because like the Chinuch is saying, the Tachlis of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is what the Karban Toda is trying to achieve, is to express Hakaras HaTov and Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Lefi the Magra and the Chasam Sofer, I think Rav Nachman is much more meduyik. He's being very specific. Look at the question of the Manishtana. The Manishtana is telling us that the Korban Pesach and the whole process of what we're involved with together and what we just said in Holach Ma'anya, Kol Dichvin Yisei V'Yifsach, as everyone asked the Kasha, the doors are locked, the doors are closed, no one's coming over. If you're a nice guy, you would have invited people in shul. Who exactly are you inviting right now? You're not even opening the door. You only open when everyone's half asleep by the Koshel Aliyah. Oh, come on, get real. Who is it? Kol Dichvin Yesev Yivsach is an introduction to the Haggadah. That this is the Shevach V'Hodah. This is the Hakaras HaTov. This is the Korban Toda that we are now bringing to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Rav Nachman turned around and said to the Eved, Patarta Lanu Lomar Milenashtani, he didn't say Patarta Lanu Magir. He said, "Manishtana alayla azeh shebechol alayla is anu ochlin chametz u'matza alayla zeh kulo matza." He said, "This is a korban toda." He got excited. You got it, Eved. This is a korban toda. This is a shvach takarish baruchu. Patar talonu miloimar. Manishtana, manishtana alayla zeh kulo matza. So taka, why is it all matza? Why is it different than every other night? Why is it different than every other korban toda? What's Taka the answer? So I just saw an idea of the Chasam Sofer, which I thought was fascinating. In the drushes of the Chasam Sofer, I have this new set of drushes Chasam Sofer that I'm very excited about. So I'm reading this year. And he has drushes, and he went through all of the Haggadah. He has drushes on different parts of the Haggadah. So he in this piece, he says like the Vilna Gaon, even though he says this same idea. It was not bad, they prophesied the same idea. But he develops it further and he explains why is it that tonight is Kulo Matzah. And he says there was an unbelievable transformation from Yetzias Mitzrayim to ultimately the situation that we were before Yetzias Mitzrayim to the night of the Geula, what allowed and made us able to come to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he said we go through that transformation on a yearly basis through the halachas that we keep. He says like this. As we know, Chazal always tell us, the Gemara in Brachas, they tell us that the chametz resembles the Yetzer Hara. The source should be Issa, the Gaiva, the Yetzer Hara. And the matzah is a Pashri Yid that's now just looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Anivus, Shval Ruach, not raising himself, not raising his ego. And that's what the matzah is. Says the Chassam Sofer that when it comes to chametz, so when it comes to a classic nace, when it comes to a usual situation, so you have a taruvis, every situation on a classic situation is that we have some schuyos, we have some averos, we have some chametz, we have some matzah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to intervene and help us and save us from this situation of arba chayev and lahodos. Yet in the matzah, in the situation that we found ourselves in Mitzrayim, we were kulo chametz. We had nothing. We didn't deserve it at all. As Chazal tell us, the Sfarim tell us, we were on the Mentesh Shari Tumah, we were about to be buried, we were done. We didn't have anything. We were kulo chametz. But then, we decided to pull back a little bit. We decided to remove ourselves. Mishchu kulechem, Shabbos HaGadol, we recognize that this is an Avodah Zarah. We removed ourselves from the ways of the Mitzrim. And then, we were in this Pariv stage. We were in a stage of not necessarily being so involved in chametz, but at the same time, we didn't have the schuyas of matzah. We didn't have the schuyas of a yid that deserves salvation. Says the Chassam Sofer, until we involved ourselves in the mitzvah shebalayla, the dam pesach and the dam mila, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized, oh, beautiful. Not only are they pulling back, but they're being proactive. They actually are starting to get schuyos, and now we can make a salvation of what? Kulo matzah. They're pulling back from the chametz, and now they're going into the matzah mode. Says the Chassam Sofer, on a daily basis, Erev Pesach, we go through this transformation. The night of Pesach, the morning of Pesach, we have chametz. We have chametz. And then what? We have a situation of what? Neither chametz nor matzah. It's also for you to eat matzah. It's also for you to eat chametz on the day of Erev Pesach. But then what once that kicks in? At Chatzos, we do what? We shech the Pesach. We involve ourselves in our achanas for the yontiv. We come to the Geul of Mitzrayim, the night of Leil HaSeder, in a matzah of kulo matzah. Of representing that our carbon toida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, we've gotten here. We've transformed. We came from a situation of chametz. We went to a situation of neither here nor there, lo chametz v'lo matzah, and now we've finally gotten to the level of kulo matzah, and this is a carbon toida, but a unique carbon toida, a carbon toida with an absolute transformation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mirtz Hashem, should accept our carbon toida, and our hakaras hatov, and our thank you for you saving us and bringing us here today.
Okay, Avadim Ayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. I want to just introduce you to an interesting Haggadah. Someone asked me a few moments ago, what Haggadah do I like to use at the actual Seder? And in recent years, I use this Haggadah. It's called Haggadah Beis Avram Beis Aaron. It was originally printed, when it was first printed, it was printed under the title of Haggadahs Mutzal Me'esh, the Haggadah that was plucked and saved from the fire. It was written by a Belzer Chassid, who lost his life during the war. He was 37 years old. Family name is Friedman. And just to show you what the Haggadah actually looked like when he wrote it, this is going to blow your mind. It's an unbelievable artistic work. Now it's been typeset. This is normal, nice, new edition. Looks like any other. But when he wrote it, this was the title page. You could see. This was his Ksav Yad. In the Sefer, he wrote 8 different Perushim. Beis Avram, Beis Aaron. Haggadah Shel Pesach, Beis Avram, Beis Aaron. His name was Avram Aaron Friedman. Those who are familiar with Pinchas Friedman, the Shvilei Pinchas, very popular and brilliant Baal Machshava today. He's a relative of this family. And he wrote these 8 different Mefarshim throughout the course of the page, but he mapped it out, and I don't understand even how this is possible. When he wrote it, he mapped it out in such a way that he was able to have on any given page multiple commentaries. The Dvar Aaron, the Binas Aaron, the Pe'er Aaron, the Chachmas Aaron. And you can see it's a beautiful ksav. And the whole thing was originally written like this. Again, I don't even know how he cheshbined it out, that it would work out, like the Vart would end exactly on the page the way that he... it is printed like this. It's hard to read. If you actually want to use it, it's hard to use. But this is Mamash HaGadah that was literally saved from the fires of the Holocaust. And he writes Al Derech HaPshat. He wrote the Dvar Aaron, Al Derech HaPshat, the Pe'er Aaron, which is Remez, the Binas Aaron, which is Al Derech Drush. And then he writes on the title page, he writes Chachmas Aaron Al Derech blank. He leaves it blank. Obviously, that's the sod. He didn't even want to write what it was. And then within there, there's all sorts of other sections. It's an unbelievable commentary. This is the Haggadah that I enjoy very much and I like to use. So I'll just tell you one little remez that he has here. Avadim hayinu l'parav Mitzrayim. We say in Avadim hayinu l'parav Mitzrayim, we say a strange thing, that had a Kadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, so we'd still be in Mitzrayim. V'il lahotzi Kadosh Baruch Hu as avaseinim Mitzrayim, hare anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu m'shubadim hayinu l'parav Mitzrayim. I want to share with you something else. I'll just show you one remez because it would be chaval not to share something. In the Pe'er Aaron here, he says that the gematria of Avadim hayinu l'parav Mitzrayim is 974. And then we go on, we say, if Hashem not taking us out, we'd still be in Mitzrayim. Nu, who recognizes the number 974? Tav Tav Kufayin Dalid. Tav Tav Kufayin Dalid. Ring the bell. Tav Tav Kufayin Dalid. Chazal say that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu was creating the world, it took a Kadosh Baruch Hu kiviyacha a lot of tries. It took a Kadosh Baruch Hu a lot of tries. Hashem was bona olamo sumachirivam. Hashem built the world and destroyed the world, and built the world and destroyed the world, and built the world and destroyed the world. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally said, you know, this is good. This world works for me. Tav Tav Kuf Ayin Dalid, worlds Hashem built. One medrash it says, Tav Tav Kuf Ayin Dalid. Doros preceded the world as we know it. 974, so to speak, broken olamos. Before what? Before we got to the world, which gives us a chance. Our world also has a lot of broken things in it. But at least the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at our world and says, it's possible for you, through Torah and mitzvot, to be metakin. The earlier worlds, they weren't sustainable, whatever that means. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was building with... So he says, Avadim hayinu l'farav Mitzrayim is gematria 974. And had the Kadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out from there, had Kadosh Baruch Hu not created this world, this very precise world in which we live, then we wouldn't have a fighting chance. But I want to tell you just an insight from the Rav, and then just share one very simple ha'ara on the Avadim Hayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim. 974 worlds. There's a famous vart from Rav Soloveitchik that he said over in a Yahrzeit drasha, and it connects a little bit to what we were saying before about Magid, about the Haggadah being relevant. The Rav once shared the following. You know, it's a very strange medrash. Hashem was bona olamos machrivan. Hashem built the world and destroyed the world, built the world and destroyed the world. Hashem couldn't get it right the first time. What's the message in this famous Maimar Chazal, Bona Olamos Machriva? That was the Rav's question. So the Rav said, and again, it's nice to share in the context of this Haggadah in particular, which went through so many broken worlds, and Baruch Hashem survived intact, and we have it on some level, even though, again, the Mechaber lost his life, Al-Kiddush Hashem. The Rav said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have gotten it right the first time. Bereishis bar Elokim. Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Adin, and it wasn't sustainable, so he added Midas HaRachim, Midas HaChesed. Hashem can't get things right. Hashem has to say to us, Nasa Adam, let us make man. I can't do it on my own. I need you to work with me. What's going on here? Rav Soloveitchik said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us, we have to believe in the world in which we're in. And we can't always talk about the worlds that once were. And I'll tell you why it's so beautiful that the Rav said this, because the Rav says, Mefurash, what he wants to say. The Rav says, let me tell you about my life. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about my earlier years, my younger years. Yeah? I grew up with a father whose name was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I grew up with a grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. I think we've heard of him. Right? I grew up amongst the greatest gedolim. The Rav says, I was zocha to spend time talking and learning with Rav Chaim Ozer. The Rav says, I remember spending a sleepless night working out a very shver Rambam with Rav Baruch Ber. These were the people in my life. And then I came to America, right? America, the wasteland of America. And I started to rebuild. And I built a nice little school, a nice little yeshiva. I built Maimonides. And the Rav says, I walk down the hall and I see little kids, little American kids. first graders, second graders. I stop him in the hall. I say, tell me, what are you learning? And the kid gets all excited, you know, opens up his chumash or her chumash, and reads me a pasuk. I said, did you see Rashi? The kid says, yeah, we did this Rashi, we skipped that Rashi, right? And the Rav says, I get such a nachas ruach from that. But then the Rav asks the question, why? Why do I enjoy that? Why do I think that's anything? Again, I spoke in learning. I grew up in a world of Rav Chaim Brisker. I grew up in a world of Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. I grew up in the world of Rav Baruch Ber. I grew up in the world of the Gedolim of Europe. And now I'm sitting here with a little American kid who maybe knows a couple of psukim with Rashi. And the Rav said, but that's exactly the Vart. That's exactly the Vart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his 974 generations, or 974 worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there's going to be worlds, and they're not going to exist anymore, and you have to go weiter. And a Jew has to go weiter. And you have to live in your world. And you have to make the Seder relevant to you. It's interesting, the Kaf HaChaim brings a minug, that part of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just telling the old story. And it's not only just telling, like we said before, telling the old story in a relevant way. It's talking about your own personal struggles. It's talking about your own, the Kaf HaChaim, a person should tell, if you once were driving, got into a bad accident, the night to talk about that, Barabim, and to say thank you, to offer a carbon total, like our Belzan was saying, is at the Seder, to talk about your own struggles. Beruch Nias Uvagashmias. To live with it, in the now. So I want to just offer the following suggestion in Ava Demayinu. Again, there's a lot of things going on here, but we say at the end, "Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim as the Torah, mitzvah leinu lasaper b'yisias mitzvayim." And everyone asks the question, what's the havamina? If I'm a chacham, if I'm a navon, if I'm a zaken, that I don't have to tell the story. I'm pater from b'yisias mitzvayim. I know the story so well, I don't have to talk about it anymore. Kolamar b'lasaper b'yisias mitzvayim harezim meshubach. What's the pshat here? So there's a famous ma'isa. There's a famous ma'isa of the Rishner. That the Rishner used to tell. The Rishner would say that in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, when the Baal Shem Tov realized that there was a problem, let's say there was a gezerah on the tzibor and a sarah, so what would the Baal Shem Tov do? The Baal Shem Tov would go to a particular place in the forest, and he would take with him a candle, and he would take with him a Kabbalistic prayer book, and he'd go to that makom in the middle of the forest, and he would light the candle with all sorts of kavanas, and he would daven special tefillos with all sorts of kavanas, and he'd be mevatel the gezerah. The Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, used to say, I'm not the Baal Shem Tov. I'm not the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know how to do it the way that my Rebbe used to do it. He says, I can go to the forest also. I know the spot in the forest, and I know how to light a candle, and I can say the tefillos, but I don't know all the kavanos. I don't know all the deep kavanos. But Moshe Leib Sasever, the next generation of Chassidus, Moshe Leib Sasever said, I'm not the Maggid, I'm not the Baal Shem Tov. Moshe Leib Sasever said, I don't even know the special tefillos anymore. I don't even know what tefillos you're supposed to say. With the kavanas, without the kavanas. All I know how to do is to go to that spot in the forest and light the candle and hope that the Rabbeinu Shalom will save Klal Yisrael. Comes along the Halig, Rabbi Yisrael Rishner, and the Rishner said, I don't know where the spot in the forest is, so I can't even go and light the candle. And I don't know the tefillos, and I don't know the kavanas. He says, the only thing I do know is that I can tell the story of these tzaddikim and hope that b'schus, telling the story of these tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. And I think that's maybe, it's my own suggestion, but I think that's maybe the pshat here. Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yasiyas Mitzrayim. There's a danger, especially for B'nai Yeshiva like ourselves, who Baruch Hashem have the opportunity to learn seriously on a regular basis. There's a danger that you come to the Seder and you want to say a fancy shtickle Torah. Right? You want to give over like a whole shiur at the Seder. Right? Now hopefully most of us by now are more mature and we've realized, you know, we're not just back from Shana Aleph and we know that it doesn't actually work like that at the Seder and no one's interested in hearing a whole long pilpul by the Seder. And none of the tzaddikim and none of the gedolei Torah ever did such a thing. I know someone who was at a Pesach Seder with Rav Huttner. And they figured, you know, Rav Huttner at least, whether he's going to say a pilpul in halacha or whether he's going to say a long shtickle machshava. It was very pashut. It was very, very pashut. There's no fancy Torahs. And I think that's exactly what it's telling us here. That even if you're a chacham, and even if you're a navon, and even if you're a zakin, which you should be, and you should have all those fancy Torahs in your head, you should have all these lamdusha pilpulim in your head, that are very much nogeya lemaisa on the night of the Seder. But mitzvah leinu l'saper, The mitzvah is to what? Is to make sure you make it story-like. The more story-like you make it, the more the story comes to life. The more the story comes to life, Harizim Meshubach. And I think, in light of that story of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Magid, and Rav Moshe Leib Sasser, and Rav Yisrael Rizhner, Lefi the Yerida Sadoros, right? To be makabel and to understand, Avadim Ayinu Lefar Mitzrayim, like it says here in Haggadah Beis Aharon Beis Avram, Avadim Ayinu Lefar Mitzrayim 974, we're not the earlier generations, and we can't, our Torah is not as profound as theirs, but there's one thing that maybe we can do, and maybe, you know, in the world in which we live, where people are more emotionally connected, and people are excited to have a Haggadah with pictures and stories, right? Maybe that's what speaks to us in a certain sense. And in a certain sense, that's our avodah. That yes, we have to be Talmidei Chacham, we have to be Chacham, we have to be Nevonim, we have to be Zakenim. But the mitzvah alenu is l'saper b'yisias Mitzrayim. To make sure you don't lose sight of the story. Because if you want, b'chol dor v'dor chayavim liros es atzma, to really see yourself leaving Mitzrayim, you have to be able to picture the story. And kol amar b'lisaper, the more a person could say, you know what, tonight is a night where I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by telling the story, and then tomorrow after shul, you know, after lunch, I'll sit in the base medrash for a couple hours, and I'll learn the Rav Chaim Brisker. I'll go back to that world of Rav Chaim Brisker. But the Rav said, I have to be in the world that I'm in right now. And the world that I'm in right now in the Leil HaSeder is called Amar B'Lisaper B'Yisrael HaRezim Meshubach. The more you can make it like a story, then HaRezim Meshubach. Just one little ha'ara into Avadim Hayim.
A short idea on the Maisa of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Weinberg mentioned before, that the Mefarshim asked the question, why were they there, as Rabbi Weinberg mentioned before, especially because Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva Shteller. Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of everyone there. Rabbi Akiva, Not only is it a shaila that they weren't with their own shtellers, like, come on, at least go to, once you're leaving already, at least go to, you know, now's your vacation, so spend it well. You know, go visit your Rebbe. Don't go to visit your Talmidim. That's one question that the Mefarshim deal with. You know, some of the Mefarshim talk about the Gemara Mabatsia. Gemara Mabatsia says that they were on a boat and they had to be Makna and all these cases of Meiser and they didn't have, and that's where we learn all these things about Khalipin and all these. So the Gemara says, yeah, when did they get off the boat? It was this situation. They had to run into the closest area. We know from Purim, right, the close to the port city is Bnei Brak, right near Tel Aviv, right near Yafo, right? We spoke about it, Lagabe, the walled city, Sugyas and leaning on Megillah, and that's exactly what happened over here. They got stuck. But I think the Baal Haggadah is trying to tell us something deeper by the fact that they're by this town in Bnei Brak altogether, and they're by Rabbi Akiva specifically, and especially in light of the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is in absolute disagreement with Rabbi Akiva when it comes to the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, that the mitzvah ceased to exist once the clock strikes 12. Once Chatzos happens, once there's no more, once you hit the buzzer over there, get out of there. There's no reason for you to be there, and yet Koloso alayla, until Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, until, as Rav Arvi said so beautifully, that the Talmidim came unified, impressed by the fact that the Rabbanim were together, collective. But why is he there, and why are they by Bnei Brak, and why are they by the Talmud? So I'd like to share with you something that I think really made an impression on me, a little shout out for MTA, from my senior year of MTA. My Rebbe, Rabbi Fine, said to me, and later years, in those ideas, I didn't even know what a parish on the Haggadah was. And later years, I found it in the Leil Shimurim, which is the Aruch HaShulchan's parish on the Haggadah, a beautiful idea that, in my opinion, is one of my favorite, just a basic idea on this on the Haggadah and on this story. And I shared it at my son's Akiva's Bris. And that's why I named my son Akiva. And he said as follows. He says, the Tanoim, as we know, we're going through a difficult time period. They were being persecuted. There were enemies left and right, not allowing them to serve, not only in the times of the Nebuchadnezzar and Auschwitz, but even earlier, constantly. The Haggadah was not as smooth as it is in our days. We can't understand this, and that's why we have all these questions. And the Tanoim, as great as they weren't able to have a positive perspective. They weren't able to reach the Yesodos and the goals of the Leil HaSeder, of the Akaras HaTov, of the Karban Todah, of the Leil of Amunah, pshuta, emuna, bitachon, if there's one goal that we should get from the Leil HaSeder, in addition to being makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's to be able at the end of the Seder to say, echod mi yodeya. There's only one God. And that's what the reason of the whole Seder is, to come to emuna pshuta, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his own, and that's what the whole Seder develops. Sir Belazer and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were struggling. And specifically, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was struggling. How do I know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was struggling so much? So, I want to suggest, possibly, and I haven't seen this anywhere, but take it or leave it, but maybe that's why we say in the Haggadah, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the next paragraph, Harani Kibin Shivim Shana, and then he says a personal message from his life. I just can't do it. At night, when I'm scared, when we're being persecuted, when I'm lonely, and when I see what's happening on the streets, I can't go through Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at nighttime. I'm scared. And you know what he had to do in order to start? Maisa Rabbi Elazar, where did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah go? Where did he gain the confidence? Where did he gain the connection to the Eibishter? Even in the time of Lila, he went to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in Makkos tells us, on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the end of Makkos, Rabbi Akiva was the one person that has the ability to walk in the Zman of Churban, to walk over to the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and to see it totally destroyed. And what is Rabbi Akiva's response? He starts laughing. Because Rabbi Akiva puts the whole picture together. Rabbi Akiva sees the destruction, and he says, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that whenever there's going to be a situation of destruction, he told the Nevi'im, the Zechariah, he says that means that there's going to be an ultimate rebuilding. That means that this is the first stage for the rebuilding process for the next Beis HaMikdash. So these Tanoim needed that. They needed an injection of positive perspective, of confidence, of an ability to get to Echad Miyodeya, to get to the Tachlis of Leil HaSeder. So unbelievable, can you imagine? So all these Gedoy Le'olam, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who even has a vehement disagreement with Rabbi Akiva that what you're doing is not appropriate and Leil HaSeder has to stop right now at Chatzos. He doesn't. He doesn't follow his own opinion. He follows the Minhag HaMakom. And he goes to Rabbi Akiva's house. And he goes to Rabbi Akiva's perspective of the Gemara and Makkos, of what he sees and what he involves us and what he shares with other Gedolim in order to what? To realize, to enable Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to say, I could be Mazkir Yetzias Mitzrayim, Balelos. I could even be involved in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, even at a time of nighttime, even at a time when I'm scared, even when the Arabs are doing what they're doing to us, even when we don't know what's going to be. We don't know who's going to lead us. We don't know if the America is going to be the same America what was. We're scared. But yet, we know that we come and we're all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Akiva Nichamtani, Akiva Nichamtani. The same Yisod that we have on Tisha B'Av. We have on Tisha B'Av is the same Yisod that we have in the Maisa Rabbi Elazar. Just want to share in the Dalet Banim, the next piece, just to move things along. Just a beautiful idea Rabbi Apfel shared with us. The guys in my shir heard this already, but I shared it with Rabbi Weinberg, and I just think it's worth sharing. You know, in many shuls across America, they had a project Yesh Tikva to instill and make sure people are cognizant of sensitivity towards people who are struggling with infertility, struggling with not being able, not being zocha yet to have children. And it's an important message. It's important to be mechazik everyone, and Emir Teshem, everyone should be zoicha, and it's a night of tefillah for that. But it's just a beautiful idea of Rav Schwab, that as we approach the Dalet Banim, as we approach the Yisod of Chinuch HaBanim, the opportunity to be mechanech children, we need to recognize that there are people sitting around the Seder, and we need to recognize that they're struggling. So we introduce this Dalet Banim, this paragraph, this part of the Seder, with an interesting way of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Hamakom. Hamakom Yenachem Eschem Esoch Sharevitz Yerushalayim, the same reference that we use in the Shiva to give Nechama. The reason we give that in the Shiva to the people that are suffering a loss and that are trying to find the Eibishter and trying to connect to the Eibishter through this difficult time, we say to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Even though you can't see Him right now, He's with you. HaMakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a place. He is the place that you're sitting with. He's holding your hand right now. He's going to get you through this struggle. So, says Rav Schwab, we decide to use that same idea, that same reference, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom, for people who are struggling within the area of Banim, within the area of Chinuch HaBanim. Whether they're struggling in the area of infertility, of not being able to have children, and we want to approach the concept of children with sensitivity, and it's something that we have to keep on our mind, and we're not cognizant enough with our comments left and right, how we make statements, and we don't realize that there are people suffering in that situation, and we should realize that we should come with this approach. Or people who are struggling with a Ben Rasha, with someone who's off the derech, with someone who's not going in the right direction, and he also needs a nechama. He also needs chizuk. He also needs assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also needs a makom to hold his hand as he goes and he educates his child to bring him back on the derech. Just quickly, one vart on the actual Dalet Banim, then we'll give the mic back to Rabbi Weinberg. It's just a vart that I really am fond of. I think this actually might take the cake of my favorite vort on the Leil HaSeder, and I'd like to share it with you. It's actually from a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. I think I shared it with you once a few years ago, from Rav Kalevsky, a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, that he brings home this beautiful yisod, because if you look at the first two banim, the Chacham and the Rasha, really getting most of the recognition and a lot of the Divrei Torah and discussion about the Chacham and the Rasha, what's a little bothersome is that they're very, very, very similar. Chacham ma'u omer ma'edus v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem alochicha eklenu eschem. And what do we say? We say in maftir nachar pesach hakikomen. Rasha ma'u omer ma'avoda azos lachem lachem lolo v'shehotzi yosem min ha'nachlal kafir be'ikr. And then what do we say? You wouldn't have gone out of Mitzrayim, and we're Hakashinov. What's so different between this question? Ma'idus v'achum asher tziva Hashem lokenu eschem, lochem, that's the difference, eschem or lochem. It's a drosh of eschem or lochem. They're asking, what's going on? Why is this different? So Rav Kalevsky said, if you look, these are all the chacham and the questions of the chacham and the rosh and all the dalet banim are actually parshias in the Torah. But if you look and you analyze from the actual text in the Torah, where they're found, both in Parshas Vayeshchan and Parshas Bo, and you look at the way the Torah presents their both approaches, you'll see there are a few differences that really drive home a tremendous different approach to Yiddishkeit. When the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the Torah introduces the Chacham, it says, Ki Yishal Chabin Chamachar. The Chacham has a question. He has something that's bothering him. He has something that's challenging him. And guess what, Rabbi Yisai? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Yadus encourages you to ask questions. As long as you're asking questions in a sincere way and you want to know why we do this and what's this and what's that, encourage it. And encourage it for your children. And chas v'sholem, should you just blow them off and just say, oh, that's what we do, that's what we do. No, answer them. Give them the time of day. We want to deal with questions. But we want to deal with questions. We want to deal with she'elos. When the Torah introduces the question of the Rasha, it says, v'hoya ki yomer. It says in Amira. Said Rav Kalevsky, quoted from Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, writes this in the end of Evin Ezel and Me'ila, that they once approached Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, one of the kofrim in the city that was always causing trouble, and he said, I have a few questions, Rabbi. So Rav Issa Zalman says, absolutely no problem, I take questions all the time. My problem is that you don't have questions, you have answers. You have excuses. You have reasons, you have terutz. If it's introduced as an amira, as a saying, you're putting it as a question mark, so socially you're accepted. So you can be accepted and invited over to the Kiddush and still not be considered someone who is not kofer be'ikr. But lemaisa, bottom line, the way you conduct your life, what is it? It's a teretz. It's an amira. Rav Elchanan Wasserman writes in Kovitz Ma'amorim, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Brachos, Lo sasuru achrei levavchem. Do not follow after your hearts, after your desires, after your taivas. Zuminus. This is heresy. This is apikorsis. So Rabbi Chanan asked the obvious question. I don't understand. The Torah is talking about the lev, the taivas, the desires, and you're talking about something seicheldik, something intellectual. Those are two different parts of our makeup. Says the Rabbi Chanan, everyone by nature is a believer. You can't look at this world, you know, you can't look at this world. There's no atheist in a foxhole. I speak to anyone who goes to medical school. My brother has told me the conversations he's had in medical school with people. It's impossible. You can't believe the way the body works without HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mezaka, being involved and in charge of this world. Yet why do they become apikorsim? Why do they start with the seichel, the minus? It's because they want to feed their desires. And through the questions and through the apikorsis, that gives them a way and an avenue to now give in to their desires. So it's really los asur achri levavchem. It's really all the taivas, all the desires. Yet what we paint it in a way, we put a little question mark, we put a little Q with a circle around it in order to make us look, you know, look like have an excuse over here. And that's the other difference between the chacham and the rasha. Torah introduces to us what? Ki yishalcha bincha, not only is it a sheila, machar, tomorrow. The Chacham says, Abba, Daddy, I'm going to do everything that you tell me right now. Is it possible tomorrow after the mitzvahs are not going to be expired and we're not, and the mitzvah's over already and I just want to understand the background, is that okay? Sure. 100% we could talk about it, we could develop. But don't make it into an excuse that hayom, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to involve myself in it. Masha Enke in the Rasha, it never says machar. Because the reason that I'm saying and I'm presenting these questions is in order to enable me to what? Not to do the mitzvah now. That's a teretz. That's an excuse. That's something that you don't want to encourage. And that's why we have a different approach of the Rasha. Just to finish, to She'enu De'elishol, just a beautiful idea that the Haggadah says in the Eini De'elishol. So everything, usually the Chinuch is usually, and the Baal Haggadah is usually speaking, V'yigadat Levincha, usually you would, some might think that it's just the father and the son, but it's not true. V'she'eni De'elishol, what's the next word? At psach lo. You should open up his mouth. You should encourage him to ask questions. But if it was talking to the father, it was talking to the Abba, what should the Haggadah say? Should say, V'sheini Yedea Lishol, Ata Psachlo, the masculine, you. The answer is, Rabbi Yisai, it's important for all of us here, who are in the Parsha, of looking for Shaduchim, is that this child has some issue. This child has some reason why he's unable to open up his mouth. He's bringing a very... Whatever it is, he's not asking. He doesn't have confidence. He's scared. He can't find the words. So you know what the key to enable him to ask the questions is? That female sensitivity. That unbelievable strength that every bias needs, which is part of... We struggle with this, Rabbi Yisai. It's something that the male gender can't always do. We can't always enable them to ask questions open up their mouths. And the chinuch habonim really has to come from someone who has those qualities within the house to allow and enable the children to be able to be expressive and to be able to be involved and to find the kayaches and to find the confidence. So therefore, zokta Baal Haggadah, find an Eishes Chayil. Find someone who's going to be involved in the house, in the Chinuch Habonim, to be involved in talking and encouraging the kids and giving them the confidence and the growth and the ability to ask questions. So therefore, when it comes to that child that's just paralyzed, that just can't find the words, that's just scared, that's just daunted, and he's just at Psachlo, let the Rebbetzin, let the wife open it up and encourage him to now ask questions.
It's getting late, so I'll say one final piece. It's going to go back to the Hakdama, to the Dalai Banim, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Ami Yisrael Baruch Hu. When we divided up the different pieces, I was also supposed to do Dayenu, so I'll roll Dayenu into this a little bit as well. This will be my final ha'ara. Shkoyach to everyone for sticking it out. Baruch ha'makom baruch hu, baruch shlasan Torah la'am v'Yisrael baruch hu. Already in the Rishonim, you look in the Shiboli al-Leket, it's clear that this is some type of Birchas HaTorah. That's what it sounds like. Baruch ha'makom, interesting name to use, Rabbi Elzan explained. A little bit, the makom, nechama. Baruch ha'makom, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. Baruch ha'makom baruch hu, baruch shlasan Torah la'am v'Yisrael baruch hu. It seems like it's some type of, some form, some miniature form of Birchas HaTorah. This is what we find in the Shiboli Aleket and the Machzor Vitri from the Talmud of Rashi. Simcha, the Talmud of Rashi. What's unusual is the need for a Birchas HaTorah before you begin the Dalet Banim. I said Birchas HaTorah this morning already. Why am I reciting a Birchas HaTorah and why Dafka at this point of the Seder? So some would say, Haggadah's Maisa Hashem. Haggadah's Maisa Hashem says, well, that's exactly why this Birchas HaTorah is not said with Shem and Malchus. Because it's not really Birchas HaTorah. Okay, so is it Birchas HaTorah or is it not Birchas HaTorah? If it's Birchas HaTorah, so why isn't it B'Shem and Malchus? And if it's not Birchas HaTorah, if it's not really Birchas HaTorah, so what's it doing here? So the Maisa, the fact that it's not a real bracha, it doesn't have the tzur of a bracha, it doesn't have Hashem's name, it doesn't have malchus, so it's clearly, it's not an authentic Birchas HaTorah, but clearly, the Baal HaGadol wants us to realize and to recognize the need to appreciate the Torah, specifically at this point of the HaGadol. And the question is why? The Rav, Rav Salavechik, there's HaGadol Shal Pesach, Siach HaGrid, Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, wrote the HaGadol, compiled a lot of Torahs from the Rav, and in Oschaf Beis and Oschaf Ches, he talks about this. Doesn't really address the question of why it's positioned right here in the Haggadah, but addresses the question through the eyes of Rav Soloveitchik, why you need a Birchas HaTorah on the Seder night. And again, there's a lot there. I'm not going to develop the whole thing now. You'll take a look if you're interested. But essentially, Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. Now, some of us spoke to my shiur the other day. We were talking about the mitzvah of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. We were pointing out the famous differences of Chaim Brisker's famous three differences between Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim post Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. Rav Soloveitchik said one of the things that makes this night different, what makes the Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim different from a regular Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim that we do every single night, is that there's an element of Talmud Torah involved. That Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, in telling the story to our families and to our children, to ourselves, there's an element of Talmud Torah. On a regular night when I say Shema, and I do the mitzvah of Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim, it's not begeder Talmud Torah. It's begeder Kabbalah Sol Machas Shemayim. It's begeder Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. But it doesn't necessarily have that component, that element of Talmud Torah. And the Rav brought, as one of a variety of proofs, various proofs that he brings a proof from the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, very interestingly, you know, we know that they stayed up all night telling the story. They spent the whole night telling the story. And we said there's the African Indian of emphasizing the Sipur. But if you look in the Tosefta, in Arvei Pesachim, in the 10th Perek, the Tosefta in Perek Yud Halacha Ches says, Chayiv Adam Lasok Behilchos HaPesach Kol Laila. That in addition to just telling a story, there's an element of Limud Halacha, of really learning Torah at the Seder night. So you'll say that contradicts what I told you earlier. No, maybe that's the Dafka the point. Maybe because there's this element of Talmud Torah, which is very real, and is a component, but we want to put the ikur, kolamar b'lesaper b'yisias b'sayim harizim b'shuvach. I want to make sure you don't lose sight of the story in this need to delve into the halachos of the night. So says Rav Soloveitchik, because we're about to mekayim a mitzvah, a unique mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a Talmud Torah that expresses itself through Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, so you need to make a special Birchas HaTorah. But at the end of the day, it's not a real Birchas HaTorah. And at the end of the day, the placement of this Birchas HaTorah, right before the Dalet Banim, is very strange. And that's the question the Maharal of Prague asks in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Maharal says, why is the Hakdama to Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, why Dafka, as we introduce the four sons, do we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Torah is so unbelievable? So there's a Haggadah Shel Pesach called Mibes Levi, a Brisker Haggadah Shel Pesach. And on page 120, they bring from Rav Chaim Brisker the following answer. Rav Chaim Brisker said, what makes the Torah different from every other form of knowledge, any other area of study, any other book, lahavdil, you don't like to call the Torah a book. But what makes the Torah different from any other textbook? So in the Gadol Mibeis Levi, it says on page 120 from Reb Chaim Brisker, says the following. And it's an amazing thing to think about the gift of the Torah. The same Torah that a little child learns, when a child starts to learn Torah, the same text, the same Chumash, the same 5,845 psukkim that we mentioned earlier, the same Torah, the same textbook that's being used by a child who's just beginning to open it for the first time, is the exact same textbook that the Gedolei Hador are sitting and studying from. There is no other book in the world that operates like that. If I want to learn mathematics, so the book that's used by a first grader, right, is very different than that's used by a fourth grader, by an eighth grader, by a high school student, by a college student. It's a different text. The chiddush of the Torah is that the Torah can be used by a chacham, the Torah can be used by a rasha, the Torah has a language of conversation with a tam and a sheni or de'alisho. The Torah is able to interact with anyone and everyone. The Me'iri, in his akdama to the base of Bechira, the Me'iri writes the following lashon. In describing, he's explaining the pasuk, Torah Hashem Temima, Hashem, your Torah is so complete, it's so perfect, it's Meshivas Nafesh. Says the Me'iri, in his Akdamah to the base of Bechira, Sha Torah Sefer Refuos L'chol Cholei HaNefesh. If you're a Chacham, Torah can help you. If you're a Rasha, Torah can help you. If you're a Tam, Torah can help you. If you're a She'ena De'alishol, Torah can fix you too. The Torah can fix Kol Cholei HaNefesh. V'lo Timtza Mida Maguna Ba'adam, Hein mitzad nafsho, hein mitzad chomro, neither baruchnis nor begashmis, whatever's going wrong in your life, come to the Torah. The famous Gemara in Erevin, chash berosho, you have a headache, yasuk b'Torah. Chash begrono, your throat hurts, yasuk b'Torah. Chash bebitno, yasuk b'Torah. Is that just describing how a person is not feeling well to learn Torah? Chash berosho means you have a certain illness of the head. You have a certain illness of the throat, of your dibor. You have a certain illness in your kishkas, in your beten. Whatever you have, says the base of Bechira, says the Me'iri, hey mitzad nafsho, hey mitzad chomer, whatever it is, l'kol cholei nefesh, shelo yimtzu misnagderu fuaseh b'Torah. Anything that's wrong, whatever it is that's opposing you, whatever is misnagi to being a healthy person, that refuah is found in the Torah. Torah Hashem t'mi meshivas nefesh. So says Reb Chaim Brisker, in answer to the Maharal's question, Baruch HaMakom, as you're about to engage the four sons, realize, each of these sons can come to the same Torah. You don't have to try to find some creative way to makarev a person that's outside of Torah. Torah has everything within it. It has what to say to a chacham, it has what to say to a rasha, to a tam she'eni yodei elisho. And I'll conclude with Dayenu. Because as we go through the Dayenu, obviously one of the most astounding lines of the Dayenu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah Dayenu. If you look at the beginning, how do we begin the Dayenu? How do we begin the Dayenu? We say, Kama Malos Tovos. How many wonderful Malos Tovos HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon us. And then we go through them one by one and say, you know, truthfully, it would have been enough had Hashem not done this, had Hashem not done that. That also would have been enough. That would have been fine. So I saw an explanation. Why do we start, Kama Malos Tovos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bestowed all of these Malos Tovos upon us, even though each one would have been enough. Sometimes a person says, get the lashon. Kama malos tovos lamakom aleinu, right? Ilu this, dayenu. Ilu that, dayenu. Why do we introduce it by saying, thank you Hashem for all of these malos tovos. Thank you Hashem for giving us all these things, even though we would have thought that it would be enough. What does that mean? A person sometimes thinks, you know, I have what I need in life. And I don't necessarily need, you know, X, Y, or Z. And Klal Yisrael had a lot of good things. We left Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the Bechorim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us their money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu crossed the sea. And there's a sense of Dayim that really would have been enough. Had we come to Har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, that really would have been enough. But that feeling is the feeling that a person has only before you engage Torah. Once you study Torah, once you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, I'm good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects your tefillah and says you're not good, and I'm giving you something more. No, Hashem, I don't need the Torah, I'm fine. My life is full without Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, trust me, you need the Torah. And once you get the Torah, once Hashem rejects your tefillah, when you said, I'm good enough, and Hashem said, I'm going to push you to become a little bigger, then you say, wow, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama malos tovos l'makom aleinu. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us all these things that I thought were extra. Because once I have it, then I realize, how could I have possibly lived without this? Before I learn, you know, Mishnayos Kelim, it's a hard section of Shas. So I think, okay, you know, if I know a little Bava Kama, a little Bava Metzia, a little Bava Basra, a couple of Masechtos in Moed, I'm good. Kelim, that's not even so much L'maisa B'zman. I said, what do I need it for? And then a Jew decides, you know what, I'm making a summer project, I'm going to learn an area of Taros that I never learned before. I'm going to learn an area of Kodshim that I never learned before. And after you learn it, before you study, it's fine, I could be a good Jew without it. After you learn it, you feel like, wow, I didn't know anything about a Kodesh Baruch before I learned Kelim, or Olos, or Nagayim, or Para, or Meseches Taros, which is part of Seder Taros. And that's what we're saying here, Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you. I didn't realize how badly I needed this. The Chofetz Chaim explained, in the Megid Givos Olam from Rosh Hashanah, in the first volume on page 19, Rav Shurkin says of art, and this will be really the last thing I say. Rav Shurkin says, in explanation, in the Megid Givos Olam, he says, in explanation of the Pasuk in Ha'azinu, when the Torah itself describes the Torah, Ki lo davareku mikem, ki hu chayechem. The Chofetz Chaim explains as follows. Ki lo davareku mikem, the Torah is not an empty thing. What's an empty thing? Chofetz Chaim said, you buy a soda bottle, yeah? So it says on the side of the bottle, if you happen to be in New York or certain other states, there's a 10-cent refund. So why did you buy the soda? You bought the soda because you enjoy the soda. But the empty bottle is also worth something. I could turn it in for a cash refund, not a large amount, but I could turn it in for something. I could refill the bottle. I could fill it up with cold water on my way to the gym. So that after I play some ball, I'll have a cold drink to quench my thirst. The bottle itself has a value. So a person sometimes thinks, you know, obviously I'd be a better kli if I had Torah in me. But if I don't have Torah in me, I'm still a kli, I'm still useful, I still have a life. Maybe Torah's extra credit will make my life better. We're all mature enough to admit my life would be better with Torah. But it's not necessary, it's not absolutely necessary. Says the Pasuk in Chumash, in Parashas Ha'azinu, Ki lo davareku mikem. If you don't have Torah, it's not even an empty bottle. It's not even an empty bottle. Ki hu chayechem, it's life itself. Without Torah, you're not even worth a 10-cent refund. You have mamish nothing. You have mamish nothing. And therefore we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while at first we thought, had you taken us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, I would have at least been a kli. I would have been a kli, right? You gave us some money and you did some miracles and I got my freedom, my physical freedom, and that would be good enough. To be a human being, I'd be a kli. I'd be a kli for something. I'd be worth something. But after we got the Torah, a Jew says it wouldn't have been enough. Kama malos tovos. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not satisfied being an empty vessel. Because without Torah, I'm not even an empty vessel. Because Torah is life itself. And therefore, on the night of Pesach, we're not just celebrating our physical freedom. We're celebrating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and took us eventually, this is the beginning of the process of coming to Shavuos, coming to Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, Baruch HaMakom, thank you Hashem for giving us a unique Sefer, a one-of-a-kind Sefer, like Rav Chaim Brisker said. A book that can be studied in all levels, in any environment. The king walks around as he's making political decisions. He's got his second Sefer Torah with him. And he's Karabo Kol Yemei Chayav. He sees in it everything that you could possibly want to know. It's all found. It's all found within that Torah. Halavai, we should have such a hakar, such an appreciation for the Torah Kadosh.
I don't want to hold anyone. And that was gevaldik, especially that ending. Especially on that note, we should really charge ourselves in and run into the Beis Medrash about the Sefer that we have. Just to add on to what Rabbi Weinberg said, I think beautiful with that Vart is that we don't say Kama Malas Tovos Lashem, but we connect it back to the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, the Mamish the same Makom. Mamish beautiful, and Yashikayah for everyone for listening and learning together. And Amir Tashem, we should achieve all these goals. Leila Seder.
Shkayah.
Shkayah. Thank you.